Imagine walking into a modern industrial factory today. You probably have, a very specific picture in your head.
Right, like rows of completely silent robotic arms.
Exactly. You expect laser-guided sensors tracking everything, or AI dashboards predicting microscopic flaws before they even happen.
Because for 99% of the high-volume manufacturing world, that's exactly what you get.
Yeah, we've basically been completely conditioned to believe that true precision means getting human hands as far away from the product as possible.
It's the prevailing logic, right? The assumption is that the machine is this flawless constant and the human being is, well, a dangerous variable.
Because humans get tired.
They get distracted by a noise on the floor or they blink. So modern engineering says, eliminate the variable, just let the code run the line.
Which, I mean, makes sense on paper, it feels clean. But today, we are taking you inside a massive operation that looks at all that shiny automated machinery and basically says, no thanks, we'll use our hands.
Yeah, it's wild.
Welcome to our deep dive. Okay, let's unpack this because we are exploring a truly fascinating anomaly in the manufacturing landscape today. We're looking at a family-run shop called Parker Metal Finishing down in Greensboro, North Carolina.
And doing what they do at their scale is practically unheard of.
Right, because in an era where every single competitor is rushing toward full automation, they have thrived for 46 years by doing high-volume, highly volatile industrial plating manually.
By hand. And to understand this, we're pulling from dense technical metallurgy guides, the specific chemistry of advanced zinc alloys, and the actual operational philosophy of Parker Metal Finishing themselves.
They planted their flag on Gate City Boulevard back in 1980, right?
Yeah, 1980. And they decided to just ignore the industry's obsession with robots. They chose to perfect one single grueling physical process instead.
And it's a process you interact with every single day, even if you don't realize it. Think about, the hinges on your front door or the heavy bolts in your car's engine.
Or the latches on an airplane overhead bin.
Yeah. We just expect those metal pieces to work. We rarely stop to think about the intense, honestly terrifying chemical processes required to keep those base metals from just rusting away into powder in a few months.
To really appreciate why Parker's manual model is so counterintuitive, you kind of have to understand the fundamental mechanism of what metal plating actually is.
Right, it's not just dipping steel into a bucket of metallic paint and hanging it up to dry.
No, not at all. At its core, plating is a manufacturing technique where you take a base part, the substrate, and you bond a microscopically thin layer of another metal directly to it.
You're basically building a permanent molecular chemical shield around a vulnerable piece of steel.
Exactly. And the primary way to build that shield is electroplating.
Which I always try to visualize because the chemistry gets a bit abstract for me. It's essentially like a battery running in reverse, right?
That is a perfect way to look at it.
So you have a power source pumping juice into a liquid system. You've got an anode, which is a solid chunk of your plating metal, let's say zinc, and that's positively charged.
Right, and then your cathode is the actual workpiece you want to protect, which is negatively charged.
And the liquid system is the critical part there, right?
Yeah, that liquid is an electrolyte bath. When you flip the switch, the electrical current literally rips metal atoms off the solid zinc anode.
Wow.
Those atoms dissolve into the electrolyte solution, travel across the liquid, and just violently slam into the negatively charged workpiece, bonding to its surface.
Yeah.
The voltage is forcing a new metallic skin to grow on the part.
But I've also read about electroless plating. How does that even work without the electrical highway tearing the atoms apart?
So autocatalytic or electroless plating, it removes the external power source entirely.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Instead, it relies purely on a highly complex, self-sustaining chemical reaction within an aqueous solution to force that metal atom reduction.
That sounds incredibly difficult to maintain.
It is, but it's very popular in extreme environments like marine engineering, where you need exceptionally hard surfaces.
Right.
There's also immersion plating, which is mostly used for noble metals like gold or platinum.
Yeah.
You just dunk the part, the ions react, and the process naturally stops the second the surface is covered.
That sounds almost, I don't know, delicate. But Parker doesn't use those methods.
Yeah.
And the electroplating they do use is anything but delicate.
No, it's a brutal environment.
Because you can't just toss a dirty, greasy bolt into an electrified vat and hope for the best. The preparation alone sounds like an absolute nightmare.
Oh, the pretreatment is intense. If there is even a microscopic fingerprint of oil on that steel, the zinc just won't bond.
Wow, just a fingerprint.
Just a fingerprint.
Yeah.
The electrical current will hit that oil, the plating will blister, and the part will rust months later. So they use heavy industrial solvents. We're talking about chemicals like trichloroethylene and methylene chloride.
Or hydrochloric acid.
Exactly. And after the plating is done, you still aren't finished. You have to lock in that finish with post-treatment chemical rinsing.
Which brings me to my major point of confusion here. If this process involves volatile acid baths, noxious chemical steam, and hyper-precise electrical currents, a human hand seems incredibly dangerous.
This seemed like a huge liability, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't trust myself to perfectly measure out laundry detergent every single time, let alone manage a tank of hydrochloric acid. In 2026, why not just enclose the whole toxic process in glass and let an algorithm handle the voltage?
It seems obvious, doesn't it? But to understand why they don't do that, you have to look at how these parts are actually physically handled in a factory. There are generally a few methods.
Okay.
First is barrel plating. You take a massive amount of small, durable parts, like thousands of screws, and put them inside a large perforated barrel.
And that just rolls around in the tank.
Yeah, that barrel rotates inside the chemical bath, tumbling the parts over and over so they get uniform coverage.
It's like a massive industrial rock tumbler for rust protection.
That's exactly it. It's highly efficient for huge volumes. Then, for larger or more delicate parts that would get damaged in a tumbler, you use rack plating.
That's where you physically hang them.
Right, you hang intricate pieces individually on a custom frame. This allows for exact control over how the part drains when it comes out of the liquid. In plating, there's this crucial concept called the dragout rate.
Meaning how much of that expensive, hazardous chemical solution the part physically pulls out of the tank when you lift it.
Precisely, because you obviously want the chemical staying in the tank, not dripping all over the floor or into your rinse water.
Right. Now, in the vast majority of the industry today, both barrel and rack methods are completely automated, right?
Completely. A technician simply loads the parts, punches a program into a keypad, and walks away. Automated hoists lift the massive racks. Automated rails move them over the tanks. The computer lowers them, times the bath, and applies the current.
Completely hands off. And here's where it gets really interesting. This is where Parker Metal Finishing completely breaks the mold. When Jack Parker founded the shop in 1980, the industry was already starting to look at automation.
They were chasing volume.
Yeah, but as competitors bought robots, Parker kept a human being at the controls of every single tank. They manually operate the hoists, they manually set the voltage.
And we cannot overstate the sheer physical and logistical difficulty of doing this. If you're a boutique shop making custom parts for a classic car, sure, you do it by hand.
Right, small batches.
But Parker is processing commercial runs for the entire Southeast region. They're taking in tractor trailers full of raw metal from Virginia, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama.
And turning them around in what, 7 days?
Typically a 7-day turnaround, yeah. Doing that level of throughput without a central computer running the logistics is just staggering.
I get that it's an impressive feat of human endurance, but I still go back to my question. Surely, camera sensors and AI can do this faster and safer than a guy who has been on his feet for 8 hours. Why put your business through that?
You'd think a camera could do it, but what's fascinating here is that AI is rigid. It relies on a fixed set of parameters. But plating is incredibly dynamic.
How so?
The chemical composition of a 1,000-gallon tank constantly fluctuates as you run parts through it. The ambient temperature of the factory shifts. The steel parts themselves have slight variations in their metallurgical makeup.
And that computer program is blind to that context.
Exactly. It just follows the recipe. It lowers the hoist for exactly 12 minutes at exactly 5 volts, even if the tank is running unusually hot that day.
It's like baking bread. If you just follow a recipe and bake it for 30 minutes, but it's a super humid day,
Right?
your bread might come out gummy.
Right.
A programmed oven doesn't care.
Right.
But an expert baker watches the dough. They see how it's rising, they check the crust, and they pull it out at the exact right second.
That is a perfect analogy. In the industry, they call this reading the bath. At Parker, the human platers physically watch the metal as it moves through the chemical liquid.
They're looking for visual cues a sensor might misinterpret.
Yeah, they're watching the rate of hydrogen bubbles breaking the surface, which tells them about electrical efficiency. They look at the hue of the liquid. They use their trained eyes to adjust the current and the time on the fly.
So an automated line just hands you whatever comes off it at the end, flaws, burns, uneven coatings, and all. But a human eye catches a slight chemical imbalance right there at the tank.
before a single ruined part ever makes it to a shipping box. Yes.
That's incredible.
And to read a bath with that level of intuition, you cannot be a jack of all trades. You have to know your specific chemistry inside and out.
Which perfectly explains why Parker completely ignores all those other metals we talked about earlier. They aren't dabbling in gold or silver or tin. They are 100% focused on zinc electroplating.
One process, done right.
Right. But, why just zinc?
Well, zinc is the absolute backbone of industrial corrosion protection. But to understand how impressive Parker's pure zinc process is, you have to look at the pressure they face from the wider industry.
Like the new alloys.
Exactly. There are constant advancements in specialized alloys designed to beat standard zinc. Take zinc nickel, for example. This is an alloy that's roughly 14% nickel and 86% zinc.
14% doesn't sound like a lot of nickel.
It doesn't, but metallurgically, it packs an unbelievable punch. It provides up to 10 times the protection of conventional zinc plating.
Wow, 10 times.
Yeah, it's incredibly popular right now as a replacement for cadmium, which is highly toxic and being phased out globally. You find zinc nickel in extreme high-stress environments.
Like automotive brake calipers or high-pressure aerospace fluid connectors, right?
Precisely. And it works so well because of how it uses the sacrificial properties of zinc. Zinc is a sacrificial metal, meaning it will literally throw itself on the grenade.
It corrodes to protect the steel underneath.
Right. But when you combine that sacrificial nature with the strength of nickel, the corrosion byproducts are much less voluminous. A part plated in zinc nickel can look untouched for vastly longer periods.
But applying that kind of advanced alloy is incredibly expensive, right? It requires highly specialized chemistry. What fascinates me is that Parker manages to achieve elite corrosion protection without relying on those high-cost nickel alloys.
That's the real magic of their process.
Yeah, they hit these brutal industry targets, which are measured in literal salt spray hours to white or red rust using pure zinc. And the way they do it is through highly specific chromate conversion colors.
We should definitely explain what a chromate conversion coating is because it's not just paint. When you plate zinc onto steel, the zinc layer is actually somewhat porous at a microscopic level.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, so a chromate is a vital chemical sealer that you apply over the zinc. It creates a chemical reaction that seals those microscopic pores, essentially passivating the metal.
Passivating, like making it passive.
Basically, yeah, passivation is a chemical wash that strips away any free iron or reactive elements from the surface, leaving behind an inert protective layer. It tells the metal to stop reacting to the oxygen and moisture in the air.
And Parker applies these passivates by hand to meet incredibly rigorous standards, like the ASTM B633 specification or strict military protocols.
Yes. They offer a very targeted menu of these finishes. And this is where that human touch really shines. First, they have trivalent yellow, which gives the metal a gold iridescent look.
But getting that specific gold color isn't just a switch you flip, right?
Not at all. If the tank is too cold, the yellow might shift to an ugly, sickly green. An automated timer wouldn't catch that. A human plater sees the tint shifting, adjusts the time in the bath, and saves the batch.
And it's crucial to note that all of Parker's trivalent options are RoHS compliant.
Right, the European directive.
Yeah, it restricts the use of specific hazardous materials in electronic products. Being RoHS compliant is absolutely non-negotiable for modern manufacturers.
They also do trivalent clear, which is a bright blue silver finish. If you've ever bought heavy furniture and noticed the shiny, clean bolts in the hardware bag, you've probably seen a clear zinc finish.
Oh, sure.
They offer trivalent black too, a deep black accent used for decorative but functional parts. And then, interestingly, they still offer hexavalent yellow.
Which is explicitly not RoHS compliant, right? Because it contains hexavalent chromium, which is heavily restricted now, so why offer it at all?
Because certain legacy military or specialized industrial contracts absolutely still require it by law.
Oh, because the blueprints were drawn up 30 years ago.
Exactly. And legally, the manufacturer cannot change the finish. The fact that Parker can hand tailor these exact finishes, adjusting the microscopic thickness of a toxic chemical on the fly based on the humidity in the room, it's a direct result of having a human manually operating the hoist.
So what does this all mean? How does a business actually survive for 46 years doing this? The labor is harder, the training is intense, and you're competing against companies that can just press a button and let a robot run 24 hours a day.
They survive purely on generational tacit knowledge. The platers reading the bubbling baths today at Parker learned how to do it directly from the people who built the shop in 1980.
You can't write, When the yellow looks slightly green, pull it out into a line of code.
A programmed line simply cannot reproduce generational intuition. It takes years to train an eye to read an acid bath.
And their client base clearly values that intuition over automated speed. I mean, they aren't just serving small mom-and-pop garages. Parker is the backbone for massive core industries.
Machine shops, heavy metal stampers, metal fabricators.
Yeah, defense and automotive. When you're plating components for military vehicles or cars driving down the highway at 70 miles an hour, good enough doesn't cut it.
The loyalty of their customers is incredibly rare in modern manufacturing, too. You have companies like K&S Tool and Manufacturing who have been sending parts to Parker for over 30 years.
Three decades of relying on human hands.
Yeah, and they explicitly point out that Parker stands by their delivery times, which is vital when you're managing complex supply chains. You have clients like Mike Neaton, a customer of 6 years, who relies on their competitive pricing and direct customer service.
And Brian Lausch from Ebway LLC is a 15-year customer, and he highlights the clear, timely updates. Because when you rely on humans to run the floor, you get actual human communication when you call to check on your massive order.
You aren't just looking at an automated tracker on a website.
Exactly.
There is one highly specific detail about how Parker operates that I think perfectly encapsulates their entire philosophy. It seems small, but in an industry defined by heavy machinery and caustic acids, it really stands out. It's their use of craft paper.
Oh, the thick brown paper wrapping.
Yes. Whether they're doing a generous spot check on a massive barrel run of thousands of fasteners, or an individual inspection of a highly sensitive, rack-plated aerospace part. Before it leaves their facility, Parker wraps the finished products in craft paper.
They don't just dump 1,000 freshly plated bolts into a cheap plastic bin and shove them onto a forklift.
No, they physically wrap them.
You can almost hear the tearing of the thick paper. It ensures that the part arrives at the customer's loading dock exactly as pristine as the second it left the chemical tank. It's a highly physical, tactile manifestation of care.
It makes a very distinct statement to the customer opening that package. It says, you know, human hands made sure this chemistry was right, and human hands protected it until you received it.
It really changes the way you look at the entire concept of manufacturing. Metal plating is not just dunking parts in a wash basin. It's an incredibly intense, chemically hazardous, and highly technical ballet of electricity and acid.
It's a world defined by rigid microscopic variables, dragout rates, sacrificial properties, salt spray hours.
And yet, Parker Metal Finishing proves that even in an environment that seems custom-built for robotic automation, the single most critical variable of all is human attention.
Which leaves us with a really provocative concept to consider. We currently live in a society that is obsessively chasing total automation.
Yeah, AI and absolutely everything.
Right, operating under the baseline assumption that the human element is a flaw. We believe that if we just engineer out the human, we eliminate error entirely. But when you look at Parker Metal Finishing surviving and thriving against the automated tide for 46 flawless years, you have to reconsider that logic.
Absolutely.
Is the human element actually a flaw that needs to be engineered out? Or is human intuition the ultimate irreplaceable luxury that guarantees true quality?
It really makes you look at that silent sci-fi factory floor a little differently. Maybe the true mark of precision isn't a flawless metallic surface completely untouched by human hands.
Yeah.
Maybe true precision is knowing that a pair of human hands were there, guiding the process all along.